Today's scripture reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of God.
Thank you, Sister Siltin, for reading the difficult parts, especially all the places and names of people. All right. Good morning, church. Yeah, today we celebrate, we remember Pentecost Sunday. And so we take a break from our series on the book of Job to look at these seasons within the church. So far, we have had Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, today, Pentecost Sunday. Now, if you have been coming to church for a while, this word would not be unfamiliar. But sometimes, our understanding of it might be limited, or in the worst case scenario, our understanding of it might be wrong. Now, I remember when I first heard this word, I encountered this word, all that kind of registered in my mind was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues, or some will call angelic language. Then I slowly learned that what I knew was just a part of Pentecost, and part of it, just one interpretation of Pentecost. Now, while it is true that the speaking of different languages was the visible, audible manifestation of the Holy Spirit then, it is not a benchmark. It is not the measure of the Holy Spirit within a believer. Pentecost as a word basically just means 50th. You know, Pentecost is also used as a reference to the Festival of Weeks, which is celebrated on the 50th day after Passover. You know, the festival is one of three pilgrimage festivals observed by the Jews before the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD. Now, before we dwell more into it, let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before you, humbled and in awe of who you are and what you have done. Dear Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit to help us as we look into Scripture, as we learn of your purpose and your desire for us. Bless our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, our passage for today is quite long. I'm planning to go through chapter 2, verses 1 to 41. But I've asked the scripture reader to read only the first part, you know, verses 1 to 13. Later, I'll cover the other parts, so if you have your Bible open, you can keep your finger on it, or just the e-devices, you know, or your mobile devices is easier. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus had said to the disciples before his ascension into heaven, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then the disciples returned to Jerusalem. And Peter led this group of about 120 of them. They prayed, they cast lots, and they had Matthias take the place of Judas as one of the apostles. So about 120 of them, this is disciples gathering in Jerusalem, they were waiting. Then 50 days after the Passover, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples received what they were waiting for, the Holy Spirit. It was something that the disciples had never experienced before. You know, a sound like a mighty rushing wind which filled the entire house. And then the visible tongues of fire resting on them. And then there's this utterance, the speaking of different languages. Now, it would have sound like gibberish, you know, maybe baby talk for the disciples, because it was languages that they did not understand, languages that they had not learned. But as these disciples, 120 of them, continued to speak, you know, this commotion, this rush, this noise drew a crowd. Now, we can safely assume that as they continued to speak, they came out of the house, they went into the street. And then Luke is a writer of the book of Acts, he writes of the multitude coming together. You know, they were bewildered, amazed. They were astonished as they heard the disciples speak in their own language. Now, there were a lot of people, this multitude of people in Jerusalem during that time because of the festival of weeks. All Israelites were able to, they were expected to make this trip, this journey to the temple in Jerusalem 3 times a year to make offerings, to make sacrifices. And these were likely Jews who had returned over the years from the diaspora. You know, if you know the history of Israel, of ancient Israel, you know, and they were coming back. They had been sent to Babylon, Assyria, and they were coming back. So they were able to speak the languages of different places. Now, they were also proselytes who had converted to Judaism. So they had their own native tongue. And as they gathered around the disciples, all of them heard the mighty works of God proclaimed in their own language. Utterances to the Galileans, the disciples, but these were actual words, these were actual languages to the crowd. And then we see in verses 12 to 13 that the crowd had two different responses. They were amazed, they were perplexed. Some question, what does this mean? While others mock, saying the disciples was drunk. So this was the first manifestation of the Holy Spirit to the masses. This was the first time that the Holy Spirit manifested to the people, to the crowd. No one seemed to know what was happening. No one understood. No one could explain. And then Peter stood up and he spoke with confidence. You know, he said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Then Peter, in the next following verses, quotes from the prophet Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And he reminds the people of God's promise to pour out his spirit, to show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth. So Peter was connecting the prophecies of old to what had just happened. Now, before Pentecost, before this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Spirit of God had only come upon certain people on special occasions for special enablements. No, only upon certain people on special occasions for special enablement. You know, think about Joshua, Gideon, Samson, Elijah, David. No, it was for a specific purpose and time. And it was never to the masses, to the multitude of people, never upon the entire group of people. So Peter now connects, you know, this distribution of God's Spirit on the 120 disciples to the beginning of God's promise to pour out His Spirit on all. In the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters, young and old, male and female servants. All will prophesy, all will speak forth the word of God and glorify Him. And there will be signs in the heavens above and on the earth below. Now, with this connection, Peter tells the multitude that this speaking of many tongues, of many languages, is all part of God's plan. It's not some random, chaotic drunkenness. It's not something that the disciples had done wrong. They were not drunk in the Spirit, but they were filled by the Holy Spirit. And Peter tells the crowd the reason why it is happening. Verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All this is happening so that the people of every language and every tongue can hear the mighty works of God and call upon His name, so they will be saved. In a way, it's very much like what the church has been doing through the years. You know, Bible translation, translating the Word of God into different native languages. Even though many places they can understand English, Chinese, some of the major languages in the world today. You know, Bible translators are still trying very hard to translate the Bible, the Word of God, into the native language of the indigenous people, of the minority group, so that they have and they know the word of their word of God for themselves on their own. And again, Peter follows by connecting all he had said with Jesus. After connecting the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to what the prophet has said, now Peter follows by connecting them with Jesus. And again, he calls on the crowd. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in our midst, as you yourself know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." So, as Peter says this, he establishes the identity of Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. You know, he proclaims that God is the one who is providing the evidence through mighty works and wonders and signs performed by Jesus. God is providing the evidence for Jesus to be Christ by empowering him. It is God working through Jesus, even at the time, that enables Jesus to do what he did. And the most important evidence for Jesus as the Messiah is that he was crucified, killed, and raised from death. All these according to the plan and foreknowledge of God. Now today we know many of the prophecies which Jesus fulfilled. You know, while it takes time to get to know them, to read about them, it takes effort to research on them. Thankfully, we have the benefit of scholarly research, the internet, to help us find all these prophecies. But imagine during that time, Peter is a fisherman. He's not well-educated. He's not well-read. I don't think he would go into the synagogue. He'll be able to open the scrolls and read for himself. But imagine Peter, just 10 days after the ascension of Jesus. He steps forward among the crowd. And then he connects scriptures. He connects the prophecies from the different prophets to Jesus. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, all the different prophets and different prophecies listed in what we know as the Old Testament. There's so many of them. Peter is able to connect them to the person of Jesus, to the birth, to the life, to the works that he has done, his death, his resurrection. And again, in verses 25 to 35, Peter quotes from Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. Again, to use the Old Testament scripture to show that Jesus is the Lord of whom David foretold in the Psalm. Now, David himself died and was buried. David himself had a physical tomb that all Israelites knew of at that time. So he cannot be the Messiah. He cannot be the Savior. But Jesus died. He was buried. He was raised by God. He's exalted at the right hand of God. And quoting another psalm, Peter reminds all that David himself did not ascend into heaven, but Jesus had. Jesus had ascended into heaven. And so Peter exhorts the house of Israel to know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, to the Jews at that time, they are waiting for the Messiah. They were looking for a Savior, the promised Savior to redeem them from the oppression, from everything that they had been suffering from. They knew the Psalm of David. They knew the promises. And now Peter is helping them or directing them, revealing to them the connection of the Psalm and how Jesus fulfilled this promise. And all this, Peter spoke with the confidence that came from the Holy Spirit. Now, it is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, that gave Peter the knowledge, the words, the confidence to share about Jesus as Christ, to share that Jesus is the Messiah which the house of Israel had been waiting for. And different from the earlier response, Luke records a different response from the listeners. Now, earlier, some were mocking, while others asked, "What does this mean?" And now, after hearing Peter's sermon, the first sermon that Peter shared, they understood what had happened, and they were cut to the heart. "Brothers, what shall we do? Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Now, I think it's quite amazing how Luke, the writer, presents this origin, this history of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit first manifested among the disciples, everyone who gathered around was focused on the different languages. They were bewildered because these Galileans were speaking in their native tongues. Now, maybe it is hard for us to imagine or to visualize now. But imagine us maybe somewhere we find an island discovered for the first time in human history. And as the people go in, they hear the island people, speaking every language known to the world. This newly found island, never contacted before, and then you can hear them speak English, Chinese, Hakka, French, Greek, Aramaic. How amazing and how incredible would that be? These people who had never had any interaction with the outside world, who had never learned the language, were suddenly speaking, maybe fluently, the language known to the world. Now, of course, the difference at Pentecost is that these disciples were only able to speak the languages after the Holy Spirit rested on them. There's a very clear indication of what enabled them to speak the languages. It is the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire rested on the disciples right before they began speaking. So the focus and attention of the crowd were initially on this supernatural act done by the 120 disciples. But when they heard Peter's explanation, when they began to realize and understand the source of this supernatural occurrence, they realized Jesus was the one they had been waiting for. Their focus and attention shifted. Now it is no longer about the different languages, but it is about what they were talking about, what they were speaking about. The Messiah, the Christ, the mighty works of God. And Peter's sermon cut to the heart, you know, meaning it caused kind of like a painful emotion, a stinging, crushing sensation to the heart. And the reason is because as they listened to the disciples, as they listened to Peter's sermon, they realized that Jesus, the Messiah who was put to death, crucified by the nation, the leaders of Israel, the supposed promised people of God, when they realized that this is the one whom they participated in crucifying, maybe some among the crowd were the same ones who yelled out, "Crucify him." And they had not recognized nor acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior. Now, it is a painful realization and understanding as they listened to Peter's call. There was more which Peter would say to the crowd, but all we have is kind of a summary, you know. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. And so with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the confidence of Peter in Christ, the listeners responded to the word of God. In verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now it was the word of God that cut to their hearts. It was the word of God that moved them. The Holy Spirit helped in removing the barrier of language. And the Holy Spirit helped the disciples connect Jesus with Scripture so that he is revealed as Christ. And I believe that is the key point of this entire passage. You know, verse 1 to 41. Too often we get distracted by the talk, the discussion, maybe the debate, argument on the gift of the Holy Spirit. The language, the tongues, the supernatural. We can easily get distracted and our focus, like the crowd then, goes on to the language. Were they speaking languages? Was it angelic language? What exactly is it and how, what happens? But the key point is that as Luke is recording, Luke is writing down that there's this divine empowerment of the Holy Spirit, so that the word of God is made known, and then Jesus is exalted as Christ. You know, I spend most of the time explaining the passage, but I think it is beneficial because I remember reading through the book of Acts in the past. Very often, I also kind of skip through the meter. You know, we read verses 1 to 13, about the Holy Spirit coming, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And then we kind of just skim through this middle part on Peter's sermon. And then we come to the part about the church growing, or how the early church started, the people came together, they broke bread, they shared a meal, they were a community and they were growing. But really this entire part is also important because it tells us of the importance of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is not about the gift of the Holy Spirit in the sense that we can speak divine language or see visions and bring healing. Now, Pentecost is about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that followers of Jesus, you know, you and I, we can share confidently about Jesus, whom God has made both Lord and Christ. Pentecost is a reminder that the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we can proclaim the Lordship and redeeming grace of Christ with confidence. Now, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church, AMKPC, has been here in this place for many years. You know, this year, we'll be celebrating our 33rd anniversary in August. I think over the years, we have been very much a young church, a family church. You know, our members are relatively young. Families with young children, young parents, and young grandparents. But our main outreach focus from the beginning has been on PHS, you know, Presbyterian High School. Haven't seen this main gate for a long time. It has not been easy in terms of our church reaching out to the students of the school. And the truth is it will not get any easier. It is not getting easier. There are more restrictions in some sense, and there are less opportunities to really interact with the students. And even when we can interact with them, you know, not many of us can connect with them. But these are circumstances that are outside of our control. And really, it's not unique just for the school ministry. If you think about our family, think about your colleagues, think about your friends. You know, the truth is, it is getting harder, tougher to share about Jesus. There are different restrictions. You know, in school, at work, there are social expectations. What to say, what not to say, when to say it. And even our own fear of rejection. If you think about why we do not share about Jesus as much as we want to, we'll realize that it is not easy. And then think about why we sometimes pursue the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the gift of tongues, you know, the gift of healing, the gift of hospitality, of martyrdom, or the gift of evangelism. We ask and we pray for them. We focus on these gifts. They are great, but actually these gifts by themselves do not communicate who Jesus is. They do not necessarily exalt him as Lord and God. Now, if I have the gift of hospitality, but when I invite people to my place, I have meals with them, I do not share the gospel, or I choose not to talk about Jesus, then I'm just like a hostel, Airbnb owner, maybe a good one with good ratings. If I have the gift of healing through prayer, you know, I pray for somebody and they can get healed. But I do not talk about Jesus. If I do not point others to him, I do not exalt Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe I'm just another doctor, a non-certified one. And even to quote a well-known preacher, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. The Apostle Paul said this to the Corinthian church. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So if I cannot show the love of God or talk about the sacrificial love of Jesus, it does not matter if I can speak Greek, French, or Korean. It will just be noise. It might seem interesting for a while, but it does not have an eternal effect. And even though I cannot speak Greek, Korean, or French, you know, by the grace of God, I have been able to share about Jesus. I've been able to exalt him as Lord and God, to share about him, to tell about him to other people, and to have them respond to him. I may not have added 3,000 souls, or 300 even, but I believe there were some who came to know about who Jesus is, who eventually exalted Christ as their own Lord and Savior. Now, brothers and sisters, Pentecost is a time, Pentecost tells us that the Lord has given us his Spirit. The Lord has given you his Spirit. He has given you the power to speak in confidence of who he is and what he has done. The confidence is not that we can present fully the good news of Jesus as Christ from beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation. Now, the confidence is that when the opportunity arises, the Holy Spirit will help us share confidently about who Jesus is, about this person whom God has made Lord and Christ. And the Holy Spirit will help us connect what we have learned about Jesus in Scripture and exhort him for his great works. You know, just as Auntie Hui Ling earlier, you know, shared about how the Word of God convicted her in parenting and how she sees the effect and the power of God and prayer in the lives of her children. So next time, if you have an opportunity to share, you know, don't look to your human wisdom, logic, or knowledge. Go to God, go to the Holy Spirit, and trust him to speak to you and to speak through you. Now, Alpha is starting in July. Maybe you can pray and ask God, who can you invite? Who can you ask? Or ask God, how can you help? How can you serve? Maybe there's a friend whom you thought most unlikely to come. Maybe he will say yes. He or she will say yes if you would only ask. Now, Peter was an uneducated fisherman. He did not have the resources we have today. No Bible software. He cannot Google and quickly find, oh, this Bible verse to speak to a person. But he spoke with confidence and certainty that Jesus is the Savior, he is the Messiah. I'm sure that we are better equipped than Peter. So let us look to God and have confidence that the Holy Spirit will help you speak. I found this chart online. It says there are 63,779 cross-references in the Bible, within the Old and New Testament books, and also across the Old and the New Testament books. I'm sure the Holy Spirit can help you remember some and share them for the glory of God. Now, Pentecost Sunday is significant in the church calendar because it celebrates the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our lives. Acts chapter 2 is the reminder that the Holy Spirit was given to believers so that they can share the gospel and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And while the gifts and manifestation of the Holy Spirit is important, it is really secondary. What is of utmost importance for us as Christians is that we know Jesus and we know his salvation, and that we exalt him as our Lord and Christ, and that we are able to share this to the people around us. This Pentecost, may we remember and have the confidence to share with others who Jesus is. May the Spirit of God be with us all. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you speak and breathe life into us. We pray that you renew our hearts, our passion, and our desire for the Word of God. Stir us to serve, to worship, and to bless the church and the community around us. Teach us, Lord, to pursue the Spirit, to pursue you, and not the gifts. Teach us so that we seek to glorify you and not to find glory for ourselves. Grant us your presence, grant us your presence, and bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Reverend Jordan, for the message. Church, let us sing this closing song as a prayer of submission to the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and life as church, to cause us to act in holiness and godliness, and to show the love of Jesus Christ to the world around us. May I invite all of you to stand as we sing this closing song, Holy Spirit. with living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Let the presence of the risen Lord come renew my heart and make me whole.
Cause your word.
Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Holy Spirit, come abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Love enough to cover every sin in its thought and deed.
Please be seated.